Welcome to Fish Fry, everyone. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton from EEJournal.com, and this week, Fish Fry is coming to you from icy, snowy, way colder than I would like, Denver, Colorado. And if you're keeping track, yes, I'm collecting frequent flyer miles like they're going out of style. So where is this week's Fish Fry headed? Other than to the Rocky Mountains? To the land of verifying hardware prototypes, that's where. We've all been there, right? Nice place to visit. Don't really want to live there. My guest this week is Bob Potok, VP of Marketing at Causio. Bob and I talk about the pain of prototyping, functional testing, why you really need to be thinking about it if you're doing just about any kind of embedded design, and why we were both a little bit sad after last week's playoffs in the NFL. Thank you so much for joining me today, Bob.
Hi, Amelia. Happy to be here.
So for my audience who doesn't know, what does Causio do?
Well, Causio is a software company, and our focus is on embedded hardware design verification. So we come into play when the prototype arrives.
Okay.
We also can be used on the production test floor, and we can also be shipped with your final product to do field power on self-test and diagnostics.
Very cool. Okay, so I chatted with Causio on Fish Fry a couple years ago, but you guys have kind of switched gears, right? You've gone from a service company to a product-based company, is that correct?
That's correct, and it was quite a fundamental change that we made in our business model last year. Historically, we were a services company.
Okay.
And we found that as we were gaining more expertise in hardware verification, we also found it, from a customer's perspective, being only service-oriented was somewhat limiting.
Sure.
So last year, we decided to productize the custom software that we have been shipping so that instead of being more project-centric, which as a service, it would be project-centric, we would provide a product, and now we can offer more of a solution and be part of the design process. So that we can offer hardware verification milestones like design correctness and production readiness that can be applied on any project, not just a specific project.
Right. Okay. So I've heard a little bit about VTOS. What does that do for us?
Well, VTOS is the foundation of our product. It's a verification and test operating system.
Okay.
And there are some unique elements about VTOS. So for one, the customer would never have to port VTOS.
Wow. All right.
All the customer has to do is configure it, and that's typically about a 30-minute exercise. So from the time they start the process to have it running on their boards, 30 minutes.
Fantastic.
The other thing is that it's very different than an application OS.
Okay.
It's special purpose for hardware verification.
All right.
So it means it's smaller, it'll boot faster, and it has functionality that's specific to verifying a new embedded hardware design. So for instance, it has a very powerful functional test library.
Okay.
So from a memory test perspective, it has a traditional test, but it also has simultaneous switching output tests. It has bus noise tests. It has different types of peripheral testing for displays and touch screens and cameras and sensors. It has the ability to test different buses, so SPI bus, PCI bus. So it's a very versatile operating system for the purpose of hardware verification.
Okay, very cool. All right, Bob, how about an off-the-cuff question? We're in Longmont, Colorado right now, and I saw just recently your Denver Broncos got knocked out of the playoffs. Do you have someone you like in the Super Bowl this year, other than Denver, that is?
Well, Amelia, you hit on a very delicate topic around here.
I'm sorry. Well, okay, not really, but...
Yeah, it was quite a surprise, quite a shock when the Broncos lost on Saturday. So, personally, I think I'm going to have to root for the Ravens just because they're the team that knocked us out.
All right, that's a good answer. I respect that answer. I'm mostly a Seahawks fan, but I was originally a Packers fan, so sadness abounded in my house, too.
I'm sure I was sad to see the Packers get knocked out as well.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today, Bob.
Thank you. It's great talking to you.
Now, folks, we all know the pain of battery technology all too well. Am I right? Whether you're a consumer, didn't that charge last longer in the last version of OS? And heck, it's even worse if you're a designer. We gotta get even smaller form factors using, let's say, just about zero power. Well, what if your body was the battery? Sounds a bit like some sort of Matrix Star Trek stuff, doesn't it? Well, Corvallis, Oregon startup company Perpetua Power Source Technologies is looking to do just this. Perpetua, who draws their name from both a landmark, Cape Perpetua on the Oregon coast. I've been there. It's nice. And you guessed it, perpetual, which rings some bells of perpetual motion theories, which isn't really good, I'm thinking. But anyway, this startup based just an hour down I-5 from yours truly is working on a technology they call Tegware, which utilizes thermoelectric energy harvesting technology to power devices that are worn on the body. Using this Tegware technology, the company, along with Pacific Northwest Regional Laboratory, is working on an IC that will turn body heat into energy. But only as long as said chip is touching the skin or is separated from the skin with a thin layer of clothing. All right, let's step back here a second. The base technology being used by Perpetua is thermoelectric technology, which has been around for some time. Heck, NASA's Voyager missions have been using a version of it for almost 30 years. Thermoelectric generators, or TEGs, convert temperature differences across dissimilar materials into an electric voltage. The most important factor in thermoelectric energy is the availability of a temperature difference and the flow of heat from the warmer side to the cooler side. Using this concept, it's pretty easy to imagine some case studies where renewable energy could be used. Say, excess heat being converted to renewable energy from factory equipment such as pumps and motors, steam pipes used in HVAC. There are also other options for this technology. Solar panels, where the temperature difference is coming from sunlight, or piezoelectric energy sources, where the energy source comes from vibration. But what if we could harness the heat from our bodies to do this very same thing? Well, that's what Perpetua is aiming to do. So, how are they doing this? Well, from a combination of both thermoelectric generators and complex energy management, which includes delivering a regulated voltage that is between a maximum and a minimum specified level, protecting the circuits from variations in voltage/current levels, and monitoring the actual energy that is being harvested from the TEG, the stored energy, or both sources. I'm sure I don't need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. This stuff is super cool! Perpetua is looking for a wide range of applications, including a whole slew of consumer-based sensor products, like wearable heart rate monitors and body-powered smartphone accessories. Wait, I'm gonna be able to power my iPhone while I'm working out? Yes, please. They are also working with the U.S. military to create a TEG-based monitoring system that will track a soldier's vital signs and location while in combat. Seriously cool. I think it might be time to take a little drive to check these guys out in person. Don't you think? If you want to check out Perpetua for yourself, I've included a couple links on this week's Fish Fry page, and I've even included a link to a super geeky white paper that I think you're gonna love. All right, how about a little nerdy giveaway? You game? And this week, I'm giving everyone another chance to get a copy of FRAM MCUs for Dummies. Okay, let's talk about this super awesome book some. This little book packs a major punch. You see, Texas Instruments has a line of microcontrollers, or MCUs, that use ferroelectric random access memory, or FRAM. Aha! You say, oh wait, why would I want an MCU with FRAM? You see, you're the perfect audience for this book. No, not that you're a dummy, per se, but FRAM uses an incredibly tiny amount of power, if you didn't know, way less than flash. If you combine that with a microcontroller and presto, you can do all sorts of cool microcontrolling with almost no power. Maybe a lemon battery. Maybe some kind of new energy harvesting gadget. See, you need this book to explain the whole thing. So tell me how you'd use an MCU that burns basically no power, and I'll hook you up with the book to help you get started. It'll be like a joint project. You see, I provide the book and you provide the engineering creativity. Sounds great. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including more information about Kazuo's VTOS, Perpetua's newest advances in thermoelectric technology, or even a picture of yours truly with that FRAM for Dummies book that you could win, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or possibly the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com. For the week of January 18th, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.